The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A termite walks into a bar and says, "Is the bartender here?" Okay, let me try it again. A termite walks into a bar. Are you with me so far? And he asks, "Is the bartender here?" Groan. That should get a big groan. Termites eat wood. Bars are sometimes made of wood. So he asks, "Is the bartender here?" Somewhere along the way, I heard that if you're having a hard time figuring out just what to preach on, because the text is really tough, that you should start your sermon with a joke. And then the other day I was reading a devotion where a retired pastor shared how a friend of his was writing a book about the parables. And in this book he wrote, "Preaching on the parables is like trying to explain a joke. Either you get it or you don't." So there was a method to my madness in telling you that joke, that particular one. I remember the first time I heard it, my brother said this to our whole family gathered around a feast, and he shared the joke, and all the kids laughed, and my mother looked at us and said, "I don't get it. What are you laughing at?" But after reading today's gospel, what I really want to do is throw my hands in the air and say, "What you talking about, Jesus? This doesn't make sense." Like my joke, this parable should leave us all scratching our heads. Don't get me wrong. I think we all can figure out what Jesus is talking about toward the end, after he's told the parable, the part about serving two masters. You can't serve two masters, God and mammon, God and wealth. I think we all know what that meant, and certainly the Pharisees knew what it meant. They understood. And some of you have heard me preach many times before about how God desires our full allegiance, our undivided loyalty. It isn't that God wants to be first, per se. It's about God wanting us to trust in God, to put our trust in God above all else. And Jesus plainly said, you cannot serve God and wealth or mammon. That is to say, you can't worship God and worship money. Just one verse later, and the gospel writer points out, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed Jesus. They didn't get the joke. I mean, they didn't get the parable. And furthermore, they took offense at what Jesus called, when he called them out on, when he talked about serving two masters, because their devotion to money made their allegiance to God a bit of a hypocrisy. Clearly, the Pharisees understood exactly what Jesus was driving at. But what about the parable itself? Is Jesus really commending the rich man's dishonest manager? Regardless of his acting shrewdly, he was still being dishonest with what had been entrusted to him, what didn't belong to him in the first place. And then notice when he's confronted how he's only concerned with himself. He says to himself, he doesn't ask advice from others. He says to himself, I know what I'll do. He devises a plan so that the ones who are indebted to his soon-to-be former boss will now owe him a favor or favors. It sounds to me like the old saying, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That, I think, we can understand. But here's the thing. Parables have layers and layers of meaning, not just one. And many of the parables are confusing to us and to our ears. These parables were also confusing when Jesus first told them. And apparently they were meant to be confusing, perplexing, difficult, hard to comprehend. In fact, just a few chapters back in the same gospel, the disciples asked Jesus to tell them the meaning of another parable. And we're told Jesus explained the meaning of that parable to them privately. He also told his disciples why he taught in parables in the first place. Jesus said to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others I speak in parables so that looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand." It sounds to me like Jesus was teaching this way by telling parables on purpose. He told these confusing stories with their layers and layers of hidden meanings so that some would get it, and maybe, perhaps, some might not get it. It's kind of like having to explain a joke. Either you get it or you don't. And if the joke has to be explained, you definitely didn't get it. Is the master in this parable really commending the dishonest manager for cooking his books, for acting shrewdly? Is that today's takeaway from the gospel? Or might there be something else going on here? Something perhaps hidden. I can tell you that most preachers, when studying parables, immediately look for the Christ figure. We look closely for how God is being portrayed, how God is depicted in the story. Because, of course, all Jesus' stories have to be about God, right? For instance, it's not all that hard to imagine God as being like a shepherd who leaves a flock of 99 sheep to go in search of the lone lost one, or as a woman who searches high and low for a coin, and then after she finds it, she spends far more than it was worth throwing a party for her friends and neighbors, as Pastor Ben shared with us last week in an eloquent sermon. It's also, we don't have a hard time imagining God as a father who throws a lavish party to welcome his son home, even after his son has gone off and squandered his inheritance, all that the father had given him. Or what about that parable of the farmer who recklessly throws out seed on good soil, but also on the path where the birds are sure to eat it, and on rocky soil where it can't take root and grow, and among thorns where it will be choked out before it has a chance to produce? What about that parable? The truth is, God's ways are not our ways. In fact, God says and does some pretty crazy things, like indiscriminately throwing seeds in all places, even if it lands where it will never take root and grow. Like welcoming home a rebellious and wayward child with open arms, or finding a lost sheep or coin, or throwing lavish parties to celebrate. Or like commending a dishonest manager for acting shrewdly. Or the ludicrous, crazy thing like becoming human and dying on a cross. There are some things we simply can't understand, and they will remain a mystery that none of us will ever be able to fully understand this side of eternity. And maybe that's okay, because I'd rather put my faith and trust and hope in a God who does foolish and unexpected and surprising things and encourage you to do the same. And maybe that's the takeaway for today. The elusive meaning and purpose we all spend time searching for has been there all along. We simply need to trust in our God, who is full of grace and mercy. Our God who names and claims us in the waters of holy baptism, as will happen for David today. The God who marks us with the cross of Christ forever. Our God who loves us unconditionally. Our God who meets us at the table with a foretaste of the feast to come. We don't have to get it. God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness are continually being given freely, showered upon us. And all any of us can say to that is, thanks be to God. Amen.